Hello, hello. Welcome to The Matrix is Real. It has been a long time, but I'm very grateful. I was actually looking at my my Spotify account, and it looks like I have over 100 listeners, despite me being absent for, looks like, over almost a year. But life has definitely changed a lot for me. I'm living in a completely new state now, and the dust has finally seemed to settle quite a bit. So felt like it was the time to get back into this and start taking it seriously. Right now, there's so many distractions every day, from politics to celebrity gossip to, you know, right now the big thing that seems to dominate the TV is, you know, what's happening with Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. You know, I couldn't care less. Don't like either one of them. Doesn't matter. Just like during the fall of the Roman Empire, we are living in the modern Roman Empire. I would argue that the Roman Empire never actually fell. It simply reorganized and became the Catholic Church, the Vatican. But anyways, the biggest story in the world right now that is getting a lot of press, but it's getting a very skewed representation of what's actually going on is, of course, the situation between Israel and Gaza. For me, this ongoing story has really weeded out the people that I thought were deserving of respect, and it has really revealed so many people to be Zionist apologists. And that word itself, Zionism, Zionist, it's a dirty word. For years, to speak out against the actions of the Israeli government would instantly get you labeled as an anti-Semite, as somebody that's hateful of Jews. But that has been even further weaponized with the ongoing conflict that's going on in Palestine right now. I just want to give a brief, because I myself have learned quite a bit on this topic in recent weeks and months. But Zionism itself is a political ideology that emerged in the late 1800s and has actually been fiercely opposed by Orthodox Jews for over 100 years. And the irony of it all is, back in the late 1800s, going further, you know, a little bit before World War II, even after the completion of World War II, a lot of critics of Zionism, coming from Orthodox Jews, basically proved to be 100% accurate. Some of the biggest opponents and critics of this political ideology predicted everything that's happening today. Most people don't realize that Muslims and Jews and even Christians lived in peace throughout Palestine for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And it was only after Zionism went from a minority held ideological and political belief to, you know, basically mainstream after Hitler and the Axis powers were defeated in World War II. So where are we today? Well, I said back in October 7th, after seeing everything play out, I found it interesting that immediately I would look for videos supposedly showing this indiscriminate killing by Hamas. And let me just preface this by saying, I in no way condone the alleged actions of Hamas. I condemn all acts of violence. I follow the words of Jesus. In my opinion, arguably the most important message of the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth was given on the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "We must resist not evil with evil." So peace is the only path forward. And the reason why we don't resist evil with evil is because hate breeds more hate. Violence breeds more violence. You can't claim the moral high ground with blood on your hands. And that's exactly what the Israeli government is trying to do. So October 7th happened, and I was just trying to find these videos or any evidence of the alleged atrocities committed by Hamas, and they were far and few between. I saw a couple, you know, videos here and there. One of them was supposedly from the music festival that was allegedly attacked, and it almost looked like a Hollywood movie. There was a girl, you know, basically had her front-facing camera on her, you know. People are dying left or right in this, and you're still finding time to record yourself, you know, and it really looked like poor acting. She was distraught, you know, she was looked like she was crying, but there were no tears. There were crocodile tears, and there was no actual, I didn't actually witness in that video any actual blatant evidence of violence being committed. You know, like they accused Hamas of just basically going and indiscriminately shooting everyone in sight. And furthermore, you know, torturing them, that sort of thing. And I didn't see that. But then immediately after, when this was all happening, I found it interesting that the IDF and the Israeli government both said, don't look for the videos of these attacks. They exist, but don't look for them. And I was like, wait, what? I mean, regular journalists should have been all over this, and I'm sure they were. But citizen journalists have, I feel, even more of an imperative to seek out this information in order to make their own informed decisions and ideas, because mainstream news, mainstream media, the government, all quote authoritative sources of news have shown themselves time and time again, not only in recent history with COVID, but going back even to like immediately the aftermath of 9/11, you know, the media is dishonest. And so that was the first thing. They just kind of like really confused me. But immediately after, when Israel went on the offensive, they claim it's self-defense. Self-defense is basically defined as resisting acts of violence in order to prevent violence on, you know, yourself. So the act of self-defense for Israel would have been when the Hamas fighters crossed the border and were in Israeli, you know, territory, and you're repelling them with force. That's self-defense, you know, by definition. But when you've already, quote, eliminated the threat, and then you go to essentially bring the fight onto their own doorstep, and in the process, subject innocent civilians that had nothing to do with the attacks to violence, death, destruction, displacement from their homes, that is no longer an act of self-defense. If anything, the Israelis took a page out of the American response to 9/11, which in military warfare was a first. We had the first, that I know of in history, that a military power started attacking other nations preemptively without any actual like pretext in order to, quote, prevent these attacks. So it was self-defense, even though they're firing the first shots. Now, the other thing is, I've seen so many former IDF soldiers that were specifically stationed and tasked with border defense. You know, you're talking people that were monitoring the sensors, the watchtowers, the actual walls. So many of them have come forward saying essentially that these Hamas fighters were allowed to cross the border, because Israel, a lot of people also don't know this, Israel arguably has the most sophisticated border surveillance of that border between Gaza and Israel on the face of the earth. One soldier I read was saying, you know, our systems were so advanced that we could tell if a mouse was near the border fence. We could tell if a cockroach was near the border fence. How is it that they said hundreds, if not thousands, of Hamas fighters, how is it that hundreds and thousands of them potentially were not only allowed to breach the wall or fly over it, but all accounts I've seen is that there was no actual real response for several hours. Some say as much as 6 hours. What I wanted to get to the topic of today is, a lot of my gut feelings are now being shown to be accurate, because now that we're almost a month after the October 7th attacks, or actually we're technically over a month now, a month and 3 days, the footage is now coming out. And I remember seeing the music festival. Not only, number one, did I not see, from the images I saw, I didn't see blood splatter everywhere. I didn't see, you know, clear signs of mass casualties, bodies everywhere. I didn't see that. It was basically burn marks. It was destroyed, completely destroyed cars. And maybe now we know why. So this is from Zero Hedge. Helicopter footage sparks debate over Israeli-friendly fire incidents. Disturbing footage from the early days of the Israeli-Hamas war has become a topic of controversy over a month later, as one major Israeli newspaper strongly suggests it shows helicopter footage of Israeli forces firing indiscriminately on civilians, quote, approximately an hour after the onset of the Hamas terror attack on October 7th, while media fact-checkers, including those dropping community notes on Twitter, insist the clip does not show the idea of firing on concert-goers, and that the Israeli forces instead, quote, mainly fired with kibbutzim at the directive of the IDF soldiers on the ground, precisely as stated in the source, that they couldn't differentiate. So we have those notorious fact-checkers saying, no, that's not what it shows. It shows that they were firing and killing civilians, but they weren't targeting them. They just couldn't tell who was who. So this new revelation with this footage, paired with some of the other survivors of that attack, there was one woman primarily that said in her interactions with the Hamas fighters on that day, the Hamas fighters were pretty friendly. And they were mainly engaging military targets. They were firing at police. They were firing at the IDF. They weren't targeting civilians, as the Israeli government, as the IDF, as the U.S. government have all said. She also went on to say that she essentially witnessed the IDF killing civilians with Apache helicopters, which is what this news story says, as well as Israeli tanks. And even in some cases, I read a part where an Israeli commander or somebody on the field was so bunkered down by fire from Hamas and crossfire that he actually called an airstrike from the Israeli Air Force on his own location. So he basically, it was almost like a suicide, bomb where exactly where I'm standing because we are so bunkered down right now and we don't know what to do. So we have seen, if I keep continue going, while it's documented that Hamas massacred the majority of more than 1,400 Israelis who died in the attack, the implication is that Israeli forces tasked with propelling the Hamas assault may have contributed to the death toll after IDF pilots firing from gunships had trouble distinguishing who was Hamas and who was civilians. Again, how can you distinguish between Hamas fighters and civilians? Unlike most, Gaza doesn't have a formal military. I would say they're not allowed to, because people think that Israel occupies Gaza. Prior to this, the now in ground invasion, no, they didn't occupy Gaza since 2006. They left. But like prison guards, they control the border crossings. They control electricity distribution from primarily coming from Israel, because the only power plant in Gaza, I believe if I read correctly, only supplies Gaza with about 20% of its electricity needs. They are not allowed to have an airport, a port. Basically, Israel effectively controls air, land, and sea for all of Gaza. So try forming a formal military without, being able to make big, multi-million dollar deals with weapon suppliers, with vehicle manufacturers, that sort of thing. So essentially, Hamas is a makeshift militia, which is ironic because the Second Amendment in the United States says that, a well-armed militia and the right to bear arms is essential for preserving freedom. Now, again, please let me preface this and highlight it with a major asterisk. I am in no way condoning the alleged or actual actions of Hamas. Hamas has not allowed a free election in Gaza since 2007. But when people, the thing that just really, really frustrates me is the dishonest media is conflating and mixing somebody that supports peace and is demanding a ceasefire and that civilians are stop being targeted and the Israeli government just, you know, back off. If you really want to bring a war, stop waging a war against civilians. We are already officially or over 10,500 civilian deaths in Gaza. And there should be a major asterisk. I didn't even realize this until a couple days ago. There are still tens of thousands of civilians that are unaccounted for and are presumed dead or buried under the rubble that, Gaza has been completely destroyed in many parts. You know, vibrant, beautiful areas have been reduced to gray, just like dust and rubble. So that death toll in all actuality is probably far, far, far higher. I mean, we could be talking 20,000, 25,000 dead easily. And so far of all the official, you know, deaths that have been recorded, half of them are children. And they Israel says, well, Hamas is using them as human shields. It's like, you can say that, but when you're attacking hospitals, which according to international law cannot be targeted, when you're attacking ambulances, saying, well, Hamas fighters are driving them, the ambulances, and using them as cover, we're supposed to trust. It'd be like trusting a rapist, saying, well, she gave me consent, you know, even though you're a convicted rapist and you rape multiple women. Well, she said it was okay. It's the same thing. Israel has been caught lying again and again and again. And yet the free world is supposed to just believe everything Israel says, just like American politicians support blindly anything Israel does. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, or whatever his name is, and so many, you know, Austin, the DOD head or whatever his name is, all of them continue to say, we are giving our support to Israel with no conditions. All these bombs, all these missiles, everything, we're not attaching any conditions to them. We're not saying if you're going to use them, you have to specifically be targeting only, you know, your supposed enemy. If, you know, we will not tolerate civilian deaths or collateral damage in any way. So to me, it's just become crystal clear that the media, which this used to be conspiracy theory, but if you actually look it up, and this is again where the deception is anytime, and this is partially ignorance on those of us that are, quote, awake and aware of what's going on. Whenever, like, Kanye West says the Jews control the media, he's being dishonest, because it's not the Jews that control the media. Zionists are not Jews, just like Hamas are not Muslims. To equate the two as one and the same is either completely ignorant or completely blatantly deceptive. Zionists, as I was saying in the very beginning, it's a political ideology that says that only, quote, Jews deserve to live in Palestine. Now, the irony, and this is the chief opposition to by Orthodox Jews against Zionism, is Zionism as a political movement has secularized Judaism. I believe there was a statistic, almost two-thirds of Israelis polled, of Israeli youth polled, said that they would, if they weren't Jews, they wouldn't want to live in Israel. And that, to me, says it all. When people say, well, I'm a Jew, I stand with Israel, I'm a Jew. Are you practicing Judaism? Do you read your Torah? Do you obey it? Do you literally obey the laws of Moses? Or are you just saying, well, because my family is from a piece of land, that makes me a Jew? Do you see the problem there? That'd be like Christians saying, well, because I was born in Texas, I'm a Christian. I mean, there might be a lot of Christians in Texas, but the landmass of Texas doesn't make you a Christian. Following the words of Jesus, and not only following them, but practicing them, is what makes you a true Christian and a true follower of Jesus. So same thing with Jews, is we've blended this idea, thanks to Zionism, that Israel represents Judaism, which couldn't be further from the truth. Going back to the story, While the footage began circulating shortly after the attack, major Israeli daily outlet Ynet News appears to have been the first to delve deeper on the pilot cam footage from aboard one or more of the AH-64 Apache choppers, which responded to the October 7th Nova attack. The IDF produced footage, which was first published last month, shows the gunships firing on a multitude of targets, including vehicles and groups of people. Possible targets include Hamas and Israeli civilians alike, and perhaps groups of Palestinian civilians who were pouring across the breached Gaza border fence. When the footage was initially released, the IDF presented it as showing Hamas invaders being destroyed. Upon further analysis, coupled with the Ynet reporting, raises the specter of large-scale, quote, friendly fire, end quote, which may have occurred. The below is only, well, okay, you're not going to see that. Ynet's military correspondent Yoav Zitun described how the first helicopters over the scene were reliant on limited number of troops and security personnel on the ground who were calling in targets to command centers using cell phones and WhatsApp. So literally, they're saying that there were so few people on the ground in the early parts of the, quote, attack that they had to resort to using their cell phones and WhatsApps to call in military strikes. Again, either this, like 9/11, was the worst failure of Israeli intelligence in the history of Israel, or like 9/11, there were orders to stand down. And that's what I believe happened, because I've seen also witnesses interviewed that were at the music festival say, we were told that the IDF was watching our backs, because this whole festival happened within a mile or two, I think, of the actual border. You know, so if you're a young kid and you're, you know, hey, you know, come party, come into this rave, this and that. Oh, okay, well, I mean, is it safe? Is my first thought. Well, yeah, the military is literally going to be watching you guys. You guys are fine. But then the, quote, attacks happen and no one is there to save them. And I've seen the video that I'm describing right now. And you literally see people running away, being mowed down by what looks like, you know, large 50 caliber, you know, fire missiles from these helicopters. And I mean, if you have ever seen the targeting cameras that they show for these helicopters and jets and stuff like that, it might be, you know, pretty HD, I would say. But when you're looking at an HD image, you know, hundreds and hundreds of feet, or, you know, maybe potentially quarters of a mile or a mile away, it's still not super, it doesn't really tell you what's going on, who you're looking at. And that's exactly what these pilots are saying, is they had no idea who they were firing at. And early on, they were basically told, they were ordered, just kill everything. Just kill everything and we'll hope that they're not civilians. But again, this is, you know, this is the proof and the evidence that what we're now describing actually happened. If Israel was honest from the get-go and they said, you know what, we responded and yes, our intelligence failed, and there is a high likelihood that yes, Hamas did kill civilians, but so did we. We deeply regret it. You know, we were dealing with an overwhelming situation where we had very limited resources on the ground that could actually properly identify, you know, actual enemy targets. And we were faced with, do we allow this to continue happening because we don't know who to shoot, basically? Or do we try to neutralize the target as quickly as possible in hopes that, you know, if some civilians are caught in the crossfire, it will minimize the amount that could have been taken out as a result? If they were honest from the get-go, I would have said, okay, maybe what they're saying is right. Maybe it was just, you know, it was an accident. You know, we just didn't know any better. We if you ever, anyone's ever been in a fight, you can always, hindsight's always 20/20. You can always say, I should have done this, I should have done that. When you're in the thick of it, though, it's really, really hard to make those tough calls. But Israel didn't do that. Instead, like I just read a few seconds ago, the initial release of this footage says, we killed, all these people being killed were Hamas. We killed all the bad guys. Then, so not only did they start off with a lie, then, and they had to have known it, because even the pilots said they didn't know who they were shooting at. But then they go from the lie, and they snowball effect it. we then, I don't know if you remember hearing, and a lot of people still parrot this talking point as if it's fact, but it's not. You know, 40 babies were killed and beheaded. That story was broken by one Israeli reporter who did not see it herself, any of the evidence. She did not get this statement to be confirmed by the Israeli Defense Force or the Israeli government. And she instead said, well, I only heard one of the soldiers when I was on the scene talking about it. That was her source. She was later forced to retract it. What I believe it was Al Jazeera and Sky News and other outlets really started pressuring her on her source. And when she was shown to have none, she retracted it. The IDF was actually reached out for comment to confirm these allegations. I believe it was no less than 3 or 4 times. And they refused to comment. So it didn't happen. If it really happened, the Israeli Defense Force would have said, yep, it happened. Here's the evidence. But that's not what happened. So continuing on, this is a direct quote. As the pilots struggled to differentiate between terrorists and civilians, the decision was made to prioritize the immediate halt of the influx of Hamas terrorists and the potentially dangerous Gaza mobs breaching the border. But what's clear from the now widely viewed on-the-ground October 7th videos, which emerged almost in real time, masses of Israeli concertgoers were running, hiding, and seeking shelter in many directions. Others were whisked away on Hamas motorcycles as kidnappings ensued. But according to the report, Israeli pilots, unable to differentiate targets, unleashed heavy machine gun fire on people below, which may have included concertgoers. So, those videos that I was describing that... You know, some of them almost look like Hollywood edited type, you know, propaganda. But some of them did, you know, I would say that they look like legitimate videos of people that were scared and running for their lives. Viewed in this context, if you have Israeli Apache helicopters and jets and even tanks potentially shooting and killing people that around you, now it makes more sense. If you look and go and pull up a lot of the images of, I'm sure you've seen them, but all those cars that were like in a line trying to get out of this area, they were like completely blown to smithereens. And from what we know, and this, there's actually experts, you know, military experts on this matter that have said the same. From what we know about the military equipment, weaponry, etc. that Hamas has, there's no way that they would have been able to cause this amount of destruction in such a relatively short period of time. I've seen interviews of people in the kibbutz that survived these attacks that said Israeli tanks were firing on these tiny little homes, these settler homes. And a lot of the, quote, burnt bodies, I saw an Israeli, you know, captain or whatever, on the ground saying, yeah, well, Hamas, they just gathered up all these girls and these families and they put them in a small room and then they just took out 3 grenades and boom, dead, all burnt up, all dead. Well, if you look at the actual pictures of these areas, there's giant holes in some of these concrete walls. A grenade, you know, it might cause damage, but it's not going to put a giant hole into a concrete wall. They're not that powerful. Contrary to, you know, the movies you've seen, they don't blow up at like a huge explosion, right? Also, when a tank shell is fired, not only does it, you know, can it fly through something like concrete, but once it explodes, the blast, just the blast alone, but then also there's chemicals in them. They cause intense burnings. So, number one, a lot of the Israeli concertgoers likely may have been running from the Israeli Defense Force. And a lot of these people that were supposedly burnt alive or killed by Hamas may have been killed and or burnt alive or not by these massive Israeli tanks and their munitions that they were fired. So again, whenever a government has to lie, it's for a reason. In my view, the Israeli government, as well as the U.S. government, is completely complicit in furthering the far-right Israeli government's agenda. In 2006, when Israel officially withdrew from occupying Gaza, their head of their intelligence service said that This is according to WikiLeaks. They released a cable. He said that they basically were cheering on Hamas in hopes that Hamas would actually gain power because it would give them the perfect pretext to wage an all-out war eventually on Gaza. Also unknown by most that about 2 weeks before the October 7th attacks, Netanyahu was in the United Nations. And he pulls out a map and he draws a big line right through basically Gaza and Israel. And on the map, there was no Gaza anymore. There was no Palestine, Palestinians anymore. It was just Israel. And at the time, he was basically talking about a new trade route. Right now, what's going on, and this is where the specter of war is almost never about what the government tells you. Right now, what's going on in large part in the Middle East is about money and control. China and the BRICS, the BRIC nations, it's called the New Silk Road. The Silk Road is an ancient trade route spanning from Eastern Asia all the way to the Mediterranean. This is, I think, in the last year. Every country in the path of the Silk Road has signed on to high-speed rail railways. So basically, for the first time in modern history, there's going to be a modern rail system that goes from China all the way through the Middle East and dumping in the Mediterranean. So in my view, essentially what happened prior to October 7th was the U.S., through its proxy Israel, realized that its global grip on monetary control, but also economics, is dwindling. And so it was Joe Biden himself that said it about 30 years ago, that said Israel is the best $3 billion investment that the U.S. has ever made. And if Israel did not exist, the U.S. would have to invent an Israel to serve its interests in the region. So what may well be happening is not only does Israel get to do what it's wanted to do all along and completely level Gaza and completely take over the region. You know, they do the illegal settlement expansion, which the UN has even condemned, but they keep pushing. You know, imagine you're in a house and you invite, you know, somebody, a neighbor that their house burned down. You invite them in your home. Hey, you know, come on in. We got extra room here. You can sleep on the couch and your family, you know, let us know if you need anything. The next morning you wake up and the person's, you know, in your bathroom and they've already like put all their toothbrushes out and they've already like kind of taken over the bathroom. And then, you know, the next day happens and now they're in your bed and they're sleeping in your bed. Like that's essentially what's happening, what's been happening in Gaza for years. And the worst part of it all is that The IDF soldiers that are patrolling these areas, they witness, and I've seen the videos, they witness settler violence on Palestinians, and they don't do anything. They let it go. So it's the Israeli government is literally just standing there condoning acts of violence against peaceful people. It was even Joe Biden and it said today, he said there's no chance of a ceasefire. We have at least almost 11,000 Palestinian civilians, half of which are kids, dead as a result of Israeli aggression. Yet the leader of the supposed free world is saying there's no chance at a ceasefire. Let me tell you something. There was a guy that used to work for the CIA. His name was Chalmers Johnson. He died a couple years back. But I sat in on a lecture in college probably 15 years ago. And back then, he said, we could achieve peace in the Middle East overnight. And the audience was kind of stunned, like, how? This is, you know, the United States needs to withdraw all military and financial support with Israel unless they find a peaceful solution with the Muslim world. But by definition, that won't happen because Israel, even though they have their own agenda, they are fulfilling U.S. interests as well. So in order to achieve peace in the region, the U.S. would basically have to effectively back off in the area. And a lot of money comes through that area, not only just through the Suez Canal, but you have so much oil coming out of these nations. And you want to know the real reason why we invaded Iraq? Well, shortly, about a year before 9/11, Saddam Hussein, he was the head of Iraq at the time, he announced he was going to start selling Iraqi oil in euros. What about Muammar Gaddafi in Libya? Same thing. About a year before, we essentially backed terrorists to essentially do a coup in Libya. Gaddafi, same thing. He said he was moving all of Africa to adopt a new currency called the gold-backed African dinar, which essentially would have taken all of the resources in Africa and used those resources to bring Africa out of poverty, because almost all of the gold in the world, all the rare earth minerals, silver, like almost all, a ton of oil, it's in Africa. But you know, the United States, the West, the European nations, we can't have a strong Africa because, you know, if you allow a true even playing field, if Americans had to live, or anyone in the West, in these European nations, if they had to live like most of the world does, because most of the world lives off of a dollar a day. If you, I believe, make over $38,000 a year based on current numbers, you are in the top 1% of the world. So we always, you know, tax the rich. It's like, we are privileged to even exist in this country with it. And the real reason why we continue to exist the way that we are is because we essentially have a control of the issuance of the global reserve currency, which basically gives you an unlimited credit card until, you know, one day all confidence in the system's lost and nobody wants your money anymore. But you know, since Bretton Woods too, since what, almost 180 years, we've completely had a blank check to do whatever the heck we want. We can print money at will. We can raise interest rates, lower interest rates, do whatever we want to maintain our global power. So continuing on, I'm almost done. I appreciate you listening. In one scene from the harrowing footage, the date of which is also in dispute, a small car is seen speeding through an open field before the hovering gunship scores a direct hit. There's no way to know whether this vehicle was full of Israeli civilians, Hamas fighters, or what level of confidence IDF ground forces had prior to the takedown. So we just keep seeing, you know, just these what could be cars and people just being mowed down indiscriminately by Israeli forces. And a lot of the painfully ironic part is that a lot of these pilots are dealing with anxiety. You know, whether they say it or not, they didn't know what they were doing and they were just following orders, which unfortunately, that's why the world is the way it is. People just blindly following orders. Hitler would not have succeeded if it wasn't for good German people just, quote, doing their jobs. If you look at a lot of the pictures of the Nazis, you know, they were family men. They looked like regular people. If you look past the Nazi, you know, the swastika and SS uniform, stuff like that, they loved their families, except for maybe the treatment of Jews. At the time, they were relatively, I would say, good people. And that is where we as society need to change. People always want to focus on the problems, but never want to provide the solution. Here's the solution. I don't care what religion you are. If you acknowledge the one and only real God that exists, we're all part of the same family. There is only one God. He goes by many different names in many different parts of the world. If you claim to serve and truly obey this God and worship this God, now is the time to stop clinging to egoic identities. You know, egoism to some degree is healthy, but when you literally will condemn and hate an entire group of people just because they look different than you, or they speak a different language, or they're from a different part on the planet, that is what we are. Even going domestically, you know, you hate an entire group of people because they're the different political party. We got to stop looking to, quote, authoritative sources of power to tell us how to live our lives and how to treat people. Here's what my thing is. I personally don't believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. I consider myself a follower of Jesus, but I reject the idea that he was the divine. Very easy reason. It was the Romans that decided this. They voted at the Council of Nicea. It's called the Nicene Creed. They voted on the divinity of Jesus and the existence of the Trinity. So the very people that crucified Jesus were the ones that decided by vote that he was the literal Son of God, aka God incarnate via the Trinity. So why do I bring that up? If we toss aside the argument over was Jesus the divine, suddenly, I would say the three dominant religions on the world, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, suddenly, these three powerhouses of religion are all in agreement, because Christians don't realize this. Did you know that Jesus is the most mentioned person in the Quran, both directly and indirectly, even more so than the Prophet Muhammad? Every religion that discusses and acknowledges the existence of Jesus acknowledges that he was a great guy, that he did very great things. So whether you believe he is your, quote, Lord and Savior, which I don't, he was an amazing teacher who practiced what he preached. And his message was so radical that it is even radical today. Resist not evil with evil. An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. Treating hate with compassion. Praying for those who do wrong to you. Turning the other cheek. If somebody steals from you, offering them, you know, if somebody steals from you, offer them the clothes off your back as well. The reason why is because love ultimately will prevail if given a chance. And that is why, in my view, the world, the governments, the medias, everyone involved on the higher echelons of society, they don't want to see us unite. My stuff's going off. They don't want to see us love each other, because people that are fearless and people that embrace and embody the teachings of Jesus, of Muhammad, of Buddha, all these people, you can't control people that have no fear, and you can't control people that love each other, because I have more faith in my fellow man than I do in any government. You want to equate Hamas with Palestinians? Then you should also equate Americans with the U.S. military industrial complex, with the U.S. military, with the U.S. government. Over 1 million Iraqis and Afghanis were killed since 9/11, and it could be far higher. If you want to adopt the same logic and doctrine that Israel is espousing today, then Iraq, people in Iraq and Afghanistan would be completely righteous in calling for the murder of over 1 million Americans, because our government did it, and it's not our government. This is another fact. Did you know that more people don't vote in federal elections than do? This was something that Rage Against the Machine, before they completely sold out during COVID, they pointed out in one of their music videos, Testify, between Bush and Gore. You know, it was all his chance. Oh, they won. Gore technically won. Bush, no, nobody won, because more people don't vote for president than do. It's called voter participation. If you actually look at it, I did a whole thing on it. Every election, the majority doesn't vote. The Declaration of Independence says that governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. What do you think voting is? If that many of us already don't vote, that many of us don't actually consent, any consent that we have is essentially compelled. You know, I've lived without a social security number. I've lived without a state issued driver's license. That's the only way to fully remove all consent from the system. The problem with that is the system is set up where if you live like that, you pretty much can't transact in society at all. You have to kind of live completely off the grid. And, you know, if you have a family, if you want any aspirations of having a business, anything like that, kiss that goodbye. You basically have to live like kind of like Jesus. You kind of live out as almost like a traveling hermit type deal. So I think it was Bill Murray that said, if all of us stopped paying taxes, what would they really do? Arrest all of us? This is where, you know, the time to stop blindly supporting these hypocrites, these snakes that hide behind their perfect, you know, I whenever I think of a snake politician, I think of Gavin Newsom of California. Slick back hair, perfect white teeth, you know, says and does the right thing, looks like a Hollywood celebrity, but, you know, judge a man not by his words, but by his actions. And same thing goes for the American government. Same thing goes for the Israeli government. Even the government in Gaza, Hamas. They can say all the words, but their actions are showing who they really serve, and they don't serve God. So keep an open mind out there, people. Anyone that promotes hate and violence should not be trusted. If you claim we have over 2 billion Christians on this planet that identify, or people that identify as Christian on this planet, we have the pretty much the exact same now Muslims. That's over half of the planet. How is it that with over the half of the planet, just with those two religions alone, believing in the one true God, and that is a God of love and mercy, how is it that we still live essentially what I would say is hell on earth? The answer is that too many people are afraid to actually walk the walk. From the Matrix, there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. I implore you, listener, start walking the path today. Follow your heart, follow your morality. Deep down, you know what is right and what is wrong. It is time. It's not about protesting. Protesting gives you an outlet, but it doesn't actually enact change. Your change needs to be in your daily choices. Your change needs to be not voting for politicians, I would say at all, but certainly not ones at all that have shown that they will just completely, you know, keep things the way they are. And you know how I know this is true with politicians? This is why I tell people don't vote. Mark Twain said if voting made a difference, they wouldn't let us do it. We argue over topics all day, you know, black rights and gay rights, trans rights, taxes, this and that. Look at what happened with Israel. When the time comes, doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, you will line up rank and file to support the things that the shadow government, the real power structures in the world really want. The American government does not represent the will of the people, just as the Israeli government doesn't, just like the European nation governments don't. We need to stand as one, and the time to stand as one under God is now. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Neo, and you've been listening to The Matrix is Real.